Welcome to another episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast, hosted by Matt Christopher and Dan Adler. Settle in, listen, and learn what drives them to share their knowledge and experiences with the hope it gets you thinking about a different perspective on life. Over to you, Matt and Dan.
It is Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday the 21st of January, 2025.
Is this the official second podcast?
This is the second podcast.
Right, okay.
The penultimate is the second last. Is there a fancy name for second? I guess you just say it's second.
I used to remember people say, it's the penultimate. I didn't even know what that meant.
Well, I've taught my kids fancy words and I've always said, what does penultimate mean? They know that it means second last. But anyway, why do people come up with fancy words, Matt? To make them sound smart?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay.
There you go.
Maybe that's what I'm trying to do here.
But we're in the Trump era, so language is a premium product.
Well, look, there's a few things we're going to cover off in this podcast, and let's get into the agenda and the theme.
Agenda. We got one.
There's a structure of what we want to talk about in this second podcast, but we're going to cover off a little bit of feedback from people that have listened to the first podcast, and we're very kind in being forward and telling us what they thought, and which is awesome. We're learning. But equally, we're going to get on to the topic of perfection versus real. You know, some people think that it should be this way, and that's great that we get feedback from people. But at the end of the day, like religion, there's people that are staunch. They've got an opinion that this is the way it should be.
Right.
But you learn from different religions, and you take the path that you think is right. Equally, that then led us into the topic which we want to talk about, which is AI or social media and the impact that technology is having in our life, in our worlds, the way we consume media, where we get our news from, what do we trust, and also what impact that's having on jobs around the world. And hell, we're not experts, but this is what we're hearing and seeing from the lives that we lead, and we can talk about what you're hearing and seeing. And and as parents of kids, I'm 50 and I've got two boys, and they're out there going to go on to study or get a career, and you're in the job where you teach people and help people change career.
That's exactly right.
And find a pathway that works for them. People will probably look back on this podcast in 20 years' time and laugh at us and go, that's what they thought back then.
But well, I hope after today's discussion that we're terribly wrong, and certainly I hold a very strong opinion about machine learning or AI, so we'll get into that a bit later on. I hope I'm really wrong.
Well, let's start, before we dive into AI.
Yeah.
That's the kind of structure for the next hour. We've agreed to try and keep it to an hour. It's long form, little bite sizes if you need to turn off. And
mow the lawn.
To start, we'll start with the feedback. What have you heard since the last time we did the episode one? You've been getting some comments, feedback from people that friends of their experience listening to the first episode?
I think a couple of things. Number one, I think people were surprised that I was doing, that we were doing a podcast together. I mean, I think separately we've got, we've established, got a lot of people that certainly we're known in our respective industries and done a lot of social media ourselves, but together. So that was number one. That's like, that's interesting. You and, who's Dan? I think someone asked who was Matt. So I think it's sort of this marriage, the odd couple. But that was number one. And secondly, it sparked a lot of interest. Like, why are you doing a podcast for? Actually, two of the comments that I really, really like without embarrassing people is two people said that they had never listened to a podcast before. And one said they really liked it. The other one said, it's really thought-provoking. And I went, I just assume, I don't know about you, Dan, but that, I mean, I like this sort of podcast. But to think that people are aware of them but have never actually listened to one. So I thought that was fantastic that we might be the first podcast that someone ever listens to. And I thought, that's amazing. That's a real... it's an honour, it's a privilege, really. Hopefully our generosity and honesty. I think you were very honest. We always are, but very honest last week. And that sort of feedback that I got from many people was very positive. But those things, the first time that they'd ever listened to a podcast, I went, wow, that's you don't seem to forget the first, do you? So, you know, I think there'll be many more people that will be like that. So I learned just don't assume that people are the same kind of consumer of social media or media at all. So, yeah.
Let's just kind of bridge across to what we were just talking a second ago about your lives, how your experience with doing lives, which sometimes they went on for half an hour or even longer.
Yeah.
Particularly when you had people coming into your lives on Facebook where they were from all around the world.
Yeah.
And the conversation went down one path and then another path and you ended up in a different neighbourhood and here you were walking the streets. And the thing was that it was surprising to some people that went back and listened to your lives. You explain it. They got their chores done.
Oh, yeah. No, I laughed, Dan, because I said it before. When I started, and this goes back a long time now, but when I started on the coaching side of things, I wanted to get it right, okay? So I'm listening to all these people and I said it before and I'll say it again, and I was like, okay, so I need special equipment and I need a special secret script and I need all of these key buzzwords and I started going, oh, I'm never going to be able to do it. I thought, oh, who cares? I'm just going to press, like, live and I'm just going to go live. And I thought, well, I go for a walk every day. I'm just going to do that. And so that was, on average, was about a good 35 to 45 minutes, right? And I remember, we were talking just before we started, oh boy, did I get the feedback, all from professional coaches, Matt, oh my goodness, you got to stick to one subject, you got to be an expert in one thing. And the thing I remember is, you know, Matt, you don't have to say hello to everybody that comes along. And I'm like, but they're my friends, you know. But you can't. It was like, oh man. So, but in saying that, so I felt really bad about that. Because, oh my goodness, that, you know, it's meant to be this formula, you know, an introduction, body of your, you know, the subject, and then this sort of call to action at the end and all. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And I sort of semi-apologised. Look, guys, you know, I'm sorry. I'm going for a walk. Come on. And someone said to me, Matt, are you crazy? This is awesome. I listen to this while I'm on my ride-on lawnmower and I love it. And I'm doing all that. I'm like, oh, okay, don't change. Just be you. You know, just, I thought, oh, okay. So, there wasn't. So, as I said before, I didn't have time for editing. I didn't have time for special scripts or special buzzwords. I really wanted to, for it to be a real conversation with my friends. So if someone came in, it was like, hi, John, how are you, Jenny? How are you, Mario? How are you, Mum? Or whatever happened to be, you know. And then when I met them at the physical, we used to have physical meetups. Can you believe that? People used to actually get together.
No, I know. Really?
Yeah, it's a thing. And before the China virus came, no. So, no, joking. And then people would meet me, and I said it before, say it again. I'm Matt. I know you. And I'm like, yeah, because they'd already got to know me as a human being. You know, it's pretty difficult going for a 45-minute walk and carrying around a script with you. You know, we don't have scripts in
life. You're lucky you've got eyesight that you can look at the comments as well, because
I'd stop walking. No, that's what would happen is I'd be walking along and then I'd sit and I'd stop. I'd be under a tree somewhere in the middle of the road going,
just go, oh, back, go back 40 years where mobile phones didn't exist and the internet wasn't around.
No.
Seeing someone talk to themselves down the street, yeah. Imagine what people would have thought of you. They'd ring the cops. There'd be people with white jackets come out of a van and pick you up. One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh.
I was hoping there'd be more laughs in this episode, because last episode we were too serious. But anyway, we're starting to show our true colours. Yeah. But I guess that also is a good segue to chat rooms or the chat forum.
Yeah.
I just recently watched the Eddie Aikau, one of the biggest swells in decades. And the chat was the most interesting part, where people from all over the world, it was like almost 8 hours of live streaming the biggest waves at Waimea Bay.
Right.
And I think it's only run... I forget the statistics, but it's a very, very rarely do they run the Eddie Aikau. But watching the behaviour and the words that people choose in a public forum, there were even people policing other people who were either bringing bad language into the chat room.
Right.
And they were saying, come on, guys, keep it clean. So it was interesting to watch the actual general public out there in the chat section of a live stream event. I mean, you're doing a live stream event on Facebook.
Yep.
There's people coming in saying, hi, Matt, I haven't seen you for ages. Good luck out there. Love what you're doing. Whatever. I could see the chat in your lives.
Yeah.
Which you're then luckily got good eyesight that you're walking along and next minute someone from Venezuela comes on and you're like, oh, I haven't seen you since Mexico, whatever.
Yep.
So that's really interesting. And the segue that I wanted to kind of bring up is linking what you just said before about the experts think that it's got to be the perfect structure and it's got to be this length and it's got to have a start, a middle and an end. And it's got to have a sales funnel from awareness to consideration to conversion. And you've got to have 5 touch points. And it's got to have a white paper attached to it for a free download. And it, like, you know, I got attracted to the Kerwin Ray way.
Okay.
One of the most successful, and rest in peace, Kerwin, up there. I'm sure you're looking down and listening. I was astonished at how successful he was and, of course, curious to know what was his secret syrup that he was selling.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look back now and we think, oh, wow, well, Snapchat came out, Facebook obviously was taking off, and Instagram really took off because it had a point of difference being about a curation of images because it had all the filters because everyone was, like, tripping out that you could change it to black and white versus, you know, apply these other filters to it. That was its point of difference. It still remains today. It's and then you've got Twitter, which went to X, and you've still got Snapchat, still relevant today to the younger audience, for the ability to follow people, and you can snap people. That's what the kids call it. My eldest son Nate, when he went over to surprise my son Gabe over at North Stratty, he could see Gabe where he was at the fish and chip shop because you can snap people, and that's how he surprised him when he came back from Chicago over Christmas. But snapping people or sending tweets, which is now X, Donald Trump's got his own new social media platform called Truth. You've obviously got TikTok, which has taken the world by storm. Initially, their launch idea was about dancing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look back in time, all the way back when, you know, Kerwin Ray was preaching, literally, as a guru, to say, follow my steps and I will teach you all my techniques and tricks to become a social media expert.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, he's reaching out to the very best of the best that are hugely successful in setting up these sales funnels and, you know, like the people that are doing so successful in making money on YouTube with their pre-roll advertising and the sales funnels even in with Amazon selling product through Shopify. You look back over the time from before Facebook and these social media platforms kicked in, there were periods in time where the experts took full advantage of the technology, and this kind of leads to AI. So that's where I'm going with this. And then there's periods where it starts dying off. If you look at the trends, Facebook, because of all the fake advertising or fake news, fake news, you obviously have heard of that from Donald Trump, but all the recent advertising that you got from the federal, the state election here in Queensland, and soon to be here in Australia, there will be a federal election with Anthony Albanese versus Dutton.
Yep.
But what we're seeing amplified is in America, obviously all the fake news, all the media outlets, it's so obviously exaggerated now through watching all these videos that people are putting out there. The truth around what people think, what people feel. Now, in a live stream like you were doing on Facebook, where you were actually seeing people chatting, like the Eddie O'Cow, where you saw for 8 hours, I was glued to the TV. I didn't want to miss a set, didn't want to miss a wave, a wipeout. It was interesting to see raw and real and unfiltered general public talking to people, each other and to you, and the commentators at Eddie, for you, the people that are commenting to you, and being confident enough to put themselves out there and say, "Hi, Matt." Some of them even came online and chatted to you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
That's a brave thing.
Yeah.
But it's raw and it's real. And I think that kind of harks back to what we're doing of being raw and real. And you know, maybe our boring is other people's interesting. Maybe someone's doing the lawn, as you say, and finding this topic interesting.
Yeah.
But technology's changing fast. It will continue to change faster faster.
Definitely.
The impact on what it's going to be like for people's careers and jobs, obviously it's going to impact on careers and jobs. I've been talking a little bit, so I want you to talk about it in a minute, but I'll just say the impact that social media, mobile phone technology, quality cameras, the ability to use apps inside phones, mobile phones, to quickly go and edit a video and upload it, has dramatically impacted on the advertising world, which is what my career is. I've been in the advertising game. We build brands, we're communicators, we're storytellers. But equally, new technology was Stan, Netflix, streaming, Paramount, the list goes on, Disney Plus, being able to do catch-up TV, using the apps on your smart TV, using internet instead of using Foxtel.
Yeah.
Or having to rely on 7, 9 and 10. Look at the impact that's had on those, the value of those stations.
They've gone down.
Magazines, newspapers, the appetite for content has been ravenous.
Mm.
But then, interestingly enough, is the awakening of people going, you know what, I don't believe what I'm being sold.
No.
I don't truly believe that that's a real human being. Now you're starting to see girls and guys and things that look a bit abstract, and that's AI coming through.
Absolutely. The app, the... what do you call it? The TikTok's got those filters, don't they? Where, you know, your average-looking person suddenly looks like a supermodel or a Hollywood star, you know. So the thing is, there's nothing wrong with it, but you have no idea about, like, that's okay. That's fun, that's great. But the fact is, we're losing touch with any form of reality. That's a big thing. And if I just say about the... and I don't know anything, like, I knew that you were obviously involved with Kerwin Ray, and I remember you invited me to one of the events, and it was exciting. It was like a, you know, mega church meets rock concert, you know. It was amazing.
It was a tribe.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So, but what I think is really missing and is going to continue to be this gap between the real and the unreal, and I think AI is a massive thing, is that individuals, and I think it's nowadays, yes, we've got the big corporations, but the individual, we have our brands.
Yep.
And as raw and as genuine and as stripped back as humanly possible, that actually is such a, like, no one's going to fake that. You know, if you want to put your best foot forward, it's going to be extremely polished. It's going to be really rehearsed. And I think that which is basically unpolished and off the cuff is actually going to be something that people will go to and will be a premium product. Because what people are looking for is something that mirrors their own lives. Because no one's got it all together. No one's got it in a perfect scenario. And
they're looking for trust.
That's a big issue, isn't it? Yeah, we don't. Yeah,
like our business has always taken off during tough times. The GFC, the last few years, has been very challenging for business with business confidence, interest rates going up, you know, redundancies. But we've had a real surge the last 6 months, and the new leads continue to grow. Now AI is a tool.
Yep.
Would you give over all your power to AI to make all the decisions for you? No. you know, AI is going to be around, just like Twitter is going to be around, just like Netflix is going to be around, just like, you know, the speed of the internet and the consumption, the appetite of content is going to continue. But, like I said before, people are starting to swing around to go, you know what, I want some good old-fashioned customer service. I want to speak to a human. I wouldn't mind just having a face-to-face meeting. I just came down from the mountain at Toowoomba and had a four-hour meeting with my client. Drove half an hour and a half up, hour and a half back. We broke bread and had lunch. You can't really put a factor on the value of that versus a Microsoft Teams video call, which, of course, everyone can do from anywhere. But that strengthens that bond and that relationship, and good things come from that. And I'm seeing in my business in particular where there was the fear that AI or social media content generation was just a volume game and you were using technology to just pump as much content and posts through these social media platforms using these easy-to-use free apps on your phone, so to speak. And the kids out of university were picking these apps up so easy and be able to pump this stuff out that how could you possibly charge good dollar values for the storytelling? Yep. And it really isn't storytelling unless you're doing something long form, like what we're doing here, an hour of conversation. But instead of being fearful of that, we've actually seen it swing around now where marketing managers, heads of companies are saying, you know what, I do need that confidence, I need counselling, I need hand-holding by people that are experienced, that can have been through things and see what's bullshit versus what's real.
Absolutely.
And for us in particular, I'm seeing a real swing around, which is great to see. I'm really pleased to see it, is that the collaboration and the co-creation and the deep dive workshops that we all are in the room together, we walk out of those 4 hours and it's like an ethereal, out-of-body experience where they go, we should do this more often. I think that's what we got out of the last episode. We actually got more out of it than anyone.
Yeah.
People ask, why are you doing it? Well, getting together and having a chat with a mate, as basic as that is, and then sitting down after we've locked down an hour without clicking stop, it's been one take from end to end, and then listening to it back, that's something that what we got out of it, didn't we?
Yeah, we both looked at each other and it's like, wow, you know, that was therapeutic. Just going back to that point of basically the cost of acquiring a client, okay? So it used to be that you went and you literally hunted down every single lead and you knocked on every single door. If anybody took any interest, you went and chased it. And of course, you know, that's very time consuming and so forth. And then, as you're saying, with AI and all the different short form funnels, long form, all of that, and the AI bots that are doing what they're doing. Okay. What I fear is two things in that regard is it creates laziness. 100%. Okay? Lazy. And lazy is no good. It's a logical fallacy. Well, if you didn't have to do ringing up every client and the bot did it for you and you didn't do that, well, then you would have time for all this other stuff. But actually, it doesn't work that way because you create energies like exercise. The more that you exercise, the more energy you get and more stamina you have. The less exercise that you do, the less you have. And so in that sense, what we've lost is when there is an opportunity where you have a client that's going to spend some really big dollars, suddenly people have sort of forgotten how to communicate. They don't know what to do. It's sort of like, oh, well, we need a specialist that's able to convert this. Like, what? So there's sort of like unicorn / dolphin, come, you know, whatever it is. Like, they're not a mythical creature. Everybody had to. Back in the day, you'd go into, let's say you're going to go see your accountant, say, oh, you know, you're going to see Mr. Jones or Mrs. Jones, please sit down, I'll make you a coffee, I'll do that. Right from the beginning you walked into that office, they were selling their service. That's why the the places looked the way they did. They were, from the minute you walked in, everybody was selling.
There's a ceremony.
Absolutely. So the fact is, like you said, is laziness would be, well, you know, why would I bother driving all that way? What, you know, oh, we can just do this. But you know what? What an impact it makes when the head honcho, Dan Adler, gets in his beautiful Beamer. I'm jealous of your car, of course. Drives all the way up the range. They're anticipating. You're not sending anybody else other. You're going, right? You are the business, but you represent the business. You're making the effort. So there's anticipation. You turn up. It's like, they know you've made, you've got a nearly 3-hour round trip. Mate, they appreciate it. And I think that's when we rely on AI, we're dealing, okay, if we're selling from one AI to another AI, great, they can both talk to each other. But when it's human, when it's an AI talking to a human, it's going to be lost in some way. And like what you said last week when it was, you say to clients, it's okay to say, I don't know what I don't know. And I've used that for years myself. So the fact is that just because someone has a successful business, it doesn't mean across every sector of their business, they're just 100% confident. There's things going on. They need reassurance. They need genuine, honest feedback. Wouldn't the person that's willing to get in the car and do a 3-hour trip, wouldn't that tell you that they're going to be there during all the stages, the life cycle of their business? Wouldn't, I think that's the bit that can be easily lost with new
businesses. Especially with the new generation. And look, I want to make a point here. I don't want to shit can technology. And I'm not saying that, you know, the Gen X is better than beta? I think we've gone from alpha to beta generation that just got born this year, that will be born with AI at every turn. The alpha was, they were born with, you know, iPhones and technology and tablets in their hand. Then prior to that was the millennials, the ZYX. That's where we are. I'm not saying our generation is any better than any others. I'm just saying that there are some things that I'm seeing, which is patience, having patience. It's easy for me at 50, having run my business.
Same with me.
I'm in the 14th year of running my business.
Yep.
And I've been doing this for 30 years, is having the patience, like you say, to be in the car for a 3-hour round trip. Whereas other people might look at it, if they're too thirsty for success, because they're not patient, they might go, well, that's just a waste of time. I won't even bother doing business with that person because I've got a lead bank, a lead sales funnel that's just flowing and it's automated and the chatbots are answering, and then if this happens then it pings an email. But that's not successful, because I mean, you look at your LinkedIn inbox, how many of those do you respond to?
No, it's just hopeless.
Look at your email. The email,
flooded.
Email marketing used to be the best thing. As I was saying before, things get to a point where people follow these gurus and they listen to people on YouTube that become the experts on the sales funnels of how to set up a remarketing, you know, it's awareness conversion. Where's awareness consideration conversion, and there's remarketing. They get that white paper, and if you follow these steps, you will be successful. Well, then every man and his dog all of a sudden gets a camera in front of them, 9x16 as opposed to 16x9, which is the typical way a TV format goes. It's all by like this anymore. Remember, it went from that way to that way?
That's correct.
From horizontal to vertical?
That's because right.
Because everyone was too bloody lazy to turn their phone around. Because it's just easier to hold a phone that way. But the point I'm making is that it gets to a point where every man and his dog is now bought into the Kool-Aid, drinking the Kool-Aid and going, well, if I do that, then I too will be successful. But then you get all these people, the charlatans out there having a crack and having a go. I guess it's hypocritical because here we are with a microphone in our hand. We're having a go because we're seeing everyone else doing podcasts and we're like, well, that might be interesting. Why don't we have a go? But I guess my point is, my intention with this podcast is not to get sponsors and advertise and make money off it. Like, that's not my true birth vision of this. It's more to have a chat and have a talk and lay these thoughts down. But as technology increases and improves, I think it still needs to be a human aspect involved in everything that you do. Don't just rely on the automated sales funnel. Don't just rely on the impersonal email. I mean, look at digital marketing. I see it. 95 to 98% of all advertising that goes out there is not even being clicked on, right?
Yeah.
It's a very small percent. It's like 1 to 1.5, even less than that at times, that are actually converting. So, yes, it's measurable, but there might be something completely missing, which is the human aspect of interacting with each other and the basic manners of nice to meet you. Do I now have permission to talk to you? Can we take the conversation further? Do you find me? Do you like me? Am I familiar? Do I feel? Do you feel comfortable around me? Have I said the right things that align to your personal values? That then we have the permission to go to the next step of catching up again, whether it's a coffee. And that sometimes is missed with the younger generation, that they just want to get straight from A to B. I mean, look at Tinder. Look at, you know, these dating apps. It's just like, I don't even want to know who you are. I just want to I just want to get it on. And that's cool. That exists and people have a need for that. But I'm seeing things turn around where it's going now full loop, where they're like, you know what? That's not working. I've tried that. Our cost per click is going up. Our actual conversion quality leads are going down. And we need to do something different, because no matter how much money I throw at Google or Facebook or Meta, Instagram, the sales funnel in digital, we need to try something different, because everyone else is out there doing exactly the same thing. And now you add AI into the mix, plus all the fake news that we've been seeing and the crap through the algorithm that's been serving you stuff up that's not even relevant to what you look at. You know, people are turning off. People are turning off their phones and going, and they're waking up to the fact that it's not healthy to be on social media, looking at the scroll, that you've got to stop the scroll.
This is the thing. If you are giving up large portions of the decision making to an algorithm, okay, and you, like you said, your staff or yourself are not cutting your teeth on genuine knockbacks, on genuine feedback, are really facing genuine criticism from your target audience, who say, no, Matt, no, Dan, look, actually, you know what, you missed the mark, because what we wanted was X, Y, and Z. What you served up or what you're offering was just, it really is an opportunity for growth. If you're going to take all of that away, that in-person contact, the doors being slammed in your face.
Even call centers in the Manila and Philippines, like how impersonal is it?
Yeah, so
you actually don't feel like you're interacting with the brand that you
absolutely
put into.
Not. And so how is the brain's trust of the business, if it's just say the individual or a group, how are they really going to have their finger on the pulse if they're not out there? And going back to politics, I'm not showing my side on politics, but I have watched as a curiosity the journey of Trump. And I'm not talking about right or wrong, but I remember when, obviously, lost the election, it came back, I've been watching, and every political pundit said, that man is finished, it's the end. All of the polls leading in, even for this time, were no, no, no. And it is almost satirical to watch the major news, you know, broadcasters on the night of the election saying, Kamala Harris is going to win X, Y, and Z. Now, this is the point. There was nobody that was predicting any of this. So my point is, who can you trust? The only thing you can say is you need to be out there. If you need to actually be engaged in your community to know what people are feeling, what the business community or sports community, whatever, to actually feel what's going on, because clearly what's happening is people are not telling. And how do we gather information? It's through surveys, it's through... Yeah, that they're not going to someone's door, right? So that showed, if they're so wrong on multiple times, where the reality of what happened was every single poll all the way through is saying one thing. So the point is, AI, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, is it's here to stay, it's going to get more and more effective, all the rest of it. That's not the issue. But if, as a business owner and as a leader, if you are giving up that authority to that algorithm, you don't know the community that you're serving.
So I'll just jump in here. YouTube, the University of YouTube, there are people that think, and probably rightly so, why go and sign up and go to a university when whatever I want to search for to try and solve one of my problems in life or learn something new, whether it's Photoshop, InDesign, how to build a website, how to do anything, you type in to YouTube and the University of YouTube out there is going to tell you someone's recorded something, how to bloody tie a left-handed belt around your waist, right? Someone's thought of it and recorded it, and there's a video there for you to watch to tell you how to do it. Now, that person may or may not be the expert on how to tie a left-handed belt, but they've recorded it. Same as Kerr and Ray's Tribe. They may not be the very best brand creative agency and have the best creative team, but they've gone out there and said, this is how you build a brand. This is how you design a logo. This is how you use Photoshop. This is how you go and create an EPS or whatever it may be. Now, bring AI into the picture. ChatGPT, the list goes on of all these AI tools that you can now use, just like YouTube. You now have at your fingertips the power of being able to search for a solution to a problem and come away, walk away as an expert now. Let's just call it an expert. You now have learnt the solution to the problem and you can now do it. It's up to you whether or not you want to become a web developer through learning through YouTube, how to use WordPress and how to download the theme for a Parallax. And, you know, you could do that. Whether or not you become a good version, compared to the best web developers, you probably aren't. But the point I'm making is, fast forward in the future, we now have a system, a tool, YouTube, which can now supersede the need for university. Because pretty much everything that is out there on how the biology of the human body, psychology of the belief and the thinking, brain, nurture versus nature, medicine, how does sugar affect the body, diabetes, the list goes on. You're a teacher.
Yep.
And I just heard Elon Musk talk about how AI is going to make the human beings worthless because you now have the power of anything at your fingertips, whether it's YouTube or AI. You don't need to go to Matt to learn how to paint or become a carpenter or whatever it is in your building trade. There are generations that are thinking, well, I could just go and binge all the subjects that I need to and go and put a shingle out the front of my store and say, I'm now a Facebook expert.
That's correct.
Or I'm a YouTube sales funnel expert. Or I'm an EDM, programmatic EDM expert in my trade.
Yep.
There's no certificate that you have to produce like a plumber or an electrician that says you actually qualified, and if you steal money from people because you're actually a charlatan, then you lose your certificate of trade and you can't trade anymore, right? But with the power of AI and the power of YouTube, and even so, there are businesses and brands that are employing their own full-time employees to do this stuff.
Yep.
They're now getting to a point where they're like, you know what? I've tried internal teams. I know I can do it myself. I could learn on YouTube. I know I have AI that I can write into ChatGPT to write a brand strategy and it spits out a 24-page document. But I still now at a point where I, even though if those tools exist, I need a human being. I need to come back to a human being. And I think that even though there'll be this exponential hockey stick curve with technology and all these amazing tools will be there, there still, in the short term anyway, be a need for someone, a shepherd, to guide us through whatever it may be that you're looking for, that the human aspect will still be valued to a point. I think that juxtaposition of the exponential curve of technology is the human interaction, and things like the basic things of patience, listening, caring, empathy.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Vulnerability, yep. Used that word last time.
Yep.
And getting eye to eye on the same page with people. Some magical stuff happens there that doesn't happen behind the screen of your mobile phone or desktop computer.
I try to keep my consumption of the media to a limit, because for me it is a fetish of violence. I'm sorry, it's just a I can't do anything about some slaughter of my fellow humans in some far-flung country. I can't do anything about it. I don't want to feed my mind with it. But that's just me. So I try to keep that sort of entertainment. I call it entertainment.
Or here at home, youth crime. Yeah. It's happening around us.
Well, exactly. Okay, I don't want to feed my mind with that. But we can see that there is still a massive deficit in our human development in terms of, like you said, empathy. That seems to be going out the window. And there's actually many studies that are saying that we're living in a period of loneliness. It's quite amazing how many...
I heard that today. Yeah. Loneliness is epidemic. Oh, did you?
Okay, yeah. It's absolutely. And so we're in a society where there is a huge percentage of people who are literally going to spend their later years...
Especially the boomers.
Yeah, alone. Okay? And... that the human, we are social creatures, okay? And we need to be in contact with other people.
So compassion and forgiveness, you know, they're things that we all have to remind ourselves on every day. And we're humans, we're not perfect.
No.
And to accept that we're flawed. Like I said, last podcast, we've got to start with us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we look in the mirror, you go, oh my God. Is that what I'm dealing with today? Is this as good as it gets? Well, another frame of mind of thinking is the gratitude that, hey, we're alive. We've got
absolutely
good things going for us. You know, and so change your thinking. Can I be honest? I woke up on Monday morning and you get the Sunday sads and you're like, oh, God, it's 2025 and I've got to do it all again. There's all this hard work and last year was so hard and I've got to keep hustling. And I got out of bed, made a coffee, and then I went back to bed. I could not get out of bed. I was just floored.
Oh, but okay.
It started with movement. I believe emotion follows motion. So got out of bed. I did the most basic thing of having a shower, and I started putting my clothes away. Just something as menial as putting my folded clothes from my washing from my weekend, putting that away. And then one thing led to another. I started thinking, and next minute I was talking to my wife and Danielle said, why don't you go down and catch up with your dad? Didn't have any client meetings that day. So I was just feeling really hopeless and helpless, and I was really in a funk.
That's not a good night.
Nate, my son, had just flown back 2 days ago to Chicago. So maybe that had something to do with my depression. Like I felt really, really low. So I got in the car and I drove down and I spent time with dad. Dad's in a nursing home, Mudjerabar. He had a big accident. His mobility scooter went off a cliff 3 meters and broke 3 ribs, broke his femur, smashed his...
Was it the hip or was his leg?
It was the femur, the bone in the leg.
Yep.
And I had to put a pin in that. His flesh wounds were terrible. And now he's been bedridden since February, March last year. He hasn't got out of the bed since. And I felt the need to do something valuable. And I went down and I cut his hair and I trimmed his beard and trimmed his nose hairs and his ear hairs. And I spent time just like a hairdresser having a good old chat as I was chatting with dad. And we went through and looked at all the photographs of Nate and the family over Christmas. And you know, then I went and spent time with mum and had lunch with mum. Thank you, mum, for making those delicious tacos. That was great. I spent time with Axel, my nephew, and then got back in the car and drove back. And we were meant to do this podcast last night, but I got stuck in traffic, so here we are doing it Tuesday. But that human interaction and giving me a sense of purpose of something to do that day, even though I'm still running my business and I've got people doing projects, it's just the highs and lows that come with life. And that's how I overcame it. I started with something as simple as just, you know, shower, doing clothes, having a conversation, being convinced that there's something. If go with the flow. If there's nothing on, go and do something else than what you were hoping that was going to happen.
Break that pattern.
Yeah, and change. They say shift your physical location. Just literally get into another room. Go walk. Walk the dog or go do something. Shift your physical environment. And I did that and ended up having a wonderful time. My dad's got a cracking new haircut and he looks very sharp. And spent good quality time with him. And I felt like as I ticked that box from a family perspective, and then things flowed from there. A lead came through, a referral from a friend, and that's going to end up being a big national event. But creating that space in your life through human interaction back to the point before,
yep.
As opposed to just doing a, like even a phone call, whilst it's basic, it's nice to be able to pick up the phone and call someone. Like I'm not saying that these methods of connecting with people is bad, but I think that human interaction post the COVID-19 lockdowns, I think we're all coming out of our cave, and maybe people might be listening to this going, mate, you're about three years too late with this conversation topic. But
never
I'm seeing
too late. It's never too late at
I'm
all.
I'm seeing it now where the getting together, the ceremony of offering someone to make them a coffee or a cup of tea, and having patience and listening to someone with their conversation and asking them about them. So that I think it's coming back, that it's coming back in vogue. And it was really pleasing to see at the airport when we sent Nate off to Chicago on Saturday morning. We were all there at 5 o'clock. That all his friends, I think there was about seven of them, all went through the security gate screening at the domestic.
Yeah,
to then go for him to fly off. They went right to the gate to send him off. And I'm seeing signs of that with the next generation, that they value connection. And that's really promising. And I'm excited to see that. And I'm really proud of my sons with the group of mates that they've got, because as a parent, that's what you want to see, that they're surrounded by good people. They're not being steered down the wrong track. So technology's around us. It's all around us. It's fantastic. It's delivering so many wonderful benefits to all of us all around the world. But what also I just want to touch on in this podcast is, if in the wrong hands, it can be destructive.
Mm.
And influential in the wrong ways.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think we saw, was it a law that just got passed in? Is it 16 and under that social media is banned in Australia?
Yeah, that's what they're aiming for. Yeah, definitely.
And then TikTok just recently got banned in America.
Oh, it's back again.
I think
again.
It's back again.
It's back, but Trump likes it.
Yeah. So the science is out there that they're starting to work out that too much social media is not good for you.
Mm.
The dopamine hit of being hooked on the scroll.
Absolutely.
So, again, people are saying put an alarm clock. Don't look at it before bed. It'll impact your sleeping patterns.
Overstimulating people before they go to sleep. And also, I was with AI, we were talking about that when we started off, is, man, and this is where I said I hope that I'm wrong. You said people listen to this in the future and they'll, okay. First of all, no one has consulted with us as society at all that this is going to be the change. Okay, so for instance, when Australia changed from what was it, shillings, pence and pounds or whatever, and then went to there was this big campaign, look, this is going to be, this is what's changing, this is what's happening. Okay, that's a currency. People aren't going to lose their jobs, not going to lose their jobs. In actual fact, what they're going to do is going to enhance their jobs. Okay, now in the education space, so there's this road that leads. You say, okay, the rationale is that you know, be a good little Johnny, little Jenny, pat them on the head. They go through this system. They're going to university and they're going to be a doctor, lawyer, something in the professional field. And then they go out and they're going to have these jobs. Okay, so people are saying, look, it's not going to, it's all gloom and doom, it's not going to, as in AI, machine learning, is not going to take away the jobs for people. Okay, let's just leave that for a minute. Now, Dan, in Australia, we have the most effective agricultural and mining sector in the world, okay? So Australia used to say that we were, you know, the country was, you know, basically prospered on the sheep's back, okay? And that employed a massive amount of people. Technology came, labour-saving devices. What happened? We had productivity went up, which is good. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing. You've got productivity going up, goods being able to be moved from A to B more effectively. Wonderful. What actually happened is that the labour side of things, instead of having 100, in those days it would be men, 100 men with a pick and a shovel working at literally at the coal face, those 100 men were replaced with a machine. So productivity went up, the manpower in that day, now people power, that went down. That goes across every sector. You've got for instance,
farming.
You've got one person in a harvester or whatever it is, and that's being, they're actually doing their work. It's being guided by satellites as they're doing. One person basically can sit in the truck, air conditioned, in the machine of some kind, and that used to be a whole community doing that. So one person's doing that job. That's the example. No one's going to argue with that. Okay, that's efficiency, labour-saving device, productivity going up, but the actual labour component's going down. Now, let's go to AI for a minute. Last week, I did a little bit of research for our podcast, is in the UK, they have announced that their plan is that they're going to spend £14 billion on AI, especially in the public sector. And it went through the hospital system and the legal services. So, for instance, things like 24-hour assistance, that would be done pretty much by an AI going through all of this. Now, when we had the labour-saving, to put it this way, labour-saving machines for agriculture, what happened? People went from working in the farms and then they went into the what? Professional field. So Australia and most developed countries are in the what? Service industry. They're the big ones. That's what we're all. So we want to send our kids off to university. Nothing wrong with that. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, all the rest of it. This is the point. I cannot believe with the way that it is going, this is AI, and it is machine learning. It's not artificial intelligence. So more information that's coming in, it's getting more efficient at least recognizing the questions and then going and saying, oh, well, I got that information from Australian standards, and it's getting quicker and quicker at understanding what's being asked of it. It's getting more efficient. Now, as more and more people use, the quicker that it becomes, the more information that comes in. So it's not going to be a 5%, it's going to be a 30% as in its capacity. And then the supercomputers and so forth and so forth. So I don't think it's unreasonable that in the next, let's just say 10 years, and we think about people here in primary school now, amen, by the time they get in, finish uni, and we, you know, you invest as a parent now, I'm pretty confident that I'm going to go 30% minimum will not be there of all of those professional, yep, and there's no other jobs to go to. So what people are saying, which is, I don't really go for the left of politics much myself, but well, everybody gets a universal wage. Hang on, that sounds like sit-down money. So we've got nothing in the agricultural sector. We've got nothing in the mining sector. It doesn't employ as many people. Yes, it's got revenues.
Population's increasing.
Well, absolutely. They're coming here, which is fine. Where are the jobs? I'm sorry. I really think that we've got two speeds. One's the AI, and they know, Dan, they know where the efficiencies are going to be. They're not telling us. They know that the students today, being an accountant, or instead of us needing, let's just say, 100 accountants, we probably only need, out of the 100, we probably only need, 40 of them across the whole, you know what I mean? So, but we're promoting a system as if AI is not happening. So, as I said, I think we are heading for really the professional sector this time, the academic sector, the academics, for instance, academics, people would spend years on research at a university. They would devote themselves to a... Well, that's being done by...
You can read a book at double speed.
That's correct. So I think we are not being informed of, well, by the way, those jobs aren't going to be there anymore.
Supply will be great. Demand will come down because you've got so much of everything that it'll become less expensive. It'll become cheap to the point where you'll be able to cure world hunger because you'll be able to feed everyone. But then how does world operate when you don't have that basic market where you go to a farmer's market where someone's grown a lettuce for a certain value and put their dollar value in and sold you a good quality product and you respect that you've just... That's a really good quality cauliflower for $3. How did you... I'll buy one of them. Thank you very much, Mr. Farmer. You start getting that taken out of the equation that you just click and collect and it gets delivered to your doorstep because you're booking something on an Uber.
The age of the oligarchs again.
Yep.
Okay, we are at the source... It was today I was looking at that... Oh, look, the handful of people that own essentially... 90% of the world's wealth. That's maybe an oversimplification, but they are the movers and the shakers of the world. Do these people, they want to be the first person to be a trillionaire. I'm sorry, but I don't trust 5 people or 10 people or whatever it happens to be, a tiny group of people, that they're going to do the right thing by everybody. So, yes, we've seen it with...
Put AI and technology in their hands with a bad intention.
Exactly right.
To actually inflict harm.
Absolutely.
On the world. Well, look at what happened with COVID. Are you worried?
I definitely am. I'm worried. 3 things for me is the epidemic of loneliness is huge. The isolation to each other. If you bring it back to a business, don't just rely on that. If you think you're... there's an efficiency there. We'll use that time to actually get the people that support you, physically go and see them. Make sure that you entertain them. Make sure you say thank you. Pick up the phone yourself and say, you've been with us for 5 years, 10 years, 5 minutes. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
All the tenants, they're all the tenants of Next Thursday. My business, as you know, we entertain. We're hospitable. We're generous. We have long lunches, we go to the cricket, we do good. All sorts of things like that.
And I hope that we, whether it's business people, it's a privilege to meet one another in this journey. You know, we're not on this earth very long, really. And it really is a privilege to meet like-minded people. And that I think that's really exciting. And I just hope that as a community, we don't get so mesmerized by the fakery, because that's what most of it is, the fakery, that we that loneliness doesn't become an incurable illness to us, you know, that...
So go and see your neighbor, go and see absolutely. Your father.
You know, join a group, join a club, join the Rotary Club. You go, back to all that. Give. And I think true leaders... really believe in the human experience.
You won't get a dollar value. You won't get a dollar back for that stuff. But the sense of value in your heart and your soul, it does things, and it can change the course of history. And like, you know, Monday went down, saw Dad. That's solving his loneliness in the nursing home. Gave me something back in return. What dollar? That's not looking for dollar value. Here, we're doing a podcast. Matt, I like you. You know, we've found each other. We're friends. We're mates.
Yeah, very good friends.
We're catching up and having a chat. I'm getting value out of having a chat with you. Yeah. That's human. and that's cool. Well, we're coming to the end of the hour. I haven't been measuring
1 hour and this is, but 13 minutes. Is that part of the rules?
I don't know. But
what did the script say?
There
did
is no script. There's no structure. We're being just conversations. So we're going to sign off. Do you want to say goodnight to everyone?
Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening.
See you next week.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast. To follow us, like and subscribe. And you'll find more content on all popular social media platforms. Search No Time to Be Offended. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, we hope you get the best out of your life.